This is the Australia Report with CEO of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies, Vic Aladef. Good day, mate.
Vic Aladef, a very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm very well, thank you. Good to talk to you.
Nice to speak to you. Amazing that Malka Leifer has made her first court appearance in Australia. What a pivotal moment that must have been. What an unbelievable moment that must have been for the victims.
Particularly for those three, for the alleged victims, yes, three sisters and the 74 cases which are alleged against Malka Leifer now all come from allegations of abuse against three sisters who are all students at the Adas school in Melbourne, the ultra-Orthodox school in Melbourne where she was the principal. And so just to recap there, after years, you know, we're talking a decade of legal action and obfuscation, et cetera, in Israel and attempts to extradite her to this country. And after allegations that she was mentally unfit to travel, to fly, to appear in court, finally, that did happen. And the then Israeli Justice Minister signed the extradition order. And after a 52-hour journey from Israel via Germany, she appeared by video link in the Melbourne Magistrates Court at the end of last week. When she arrived in the country, she was taken to a women's prison where she is immediately put on lockdown because of COVID restrictions and appeared from there via video link to the Melbourne Magistrates Court. She sat silently. She was slumped over a desk. Her head was cradled in her arms, I guess you could say. No pleas were entered to the 74 counts of child sexual abuse, which she faces. And 11 of those counts are allegations of rape, by the way. Wow. She looked a pretty forlorn figure sitting in court. And then she was photographed by media being led from the police station to a prisoner transport van. And just to sum up there, so she's 54 years old, and when she fled Melbourne, this is in 2008, she fled with four of her eight children. And this was after a crisis meeting of the school board, which was convened at the home of one of the elders of the Adas community in Melbourne, and agreement was made to pay her airfare to Israel immediately, and flights were booked there and then, and in the middle of the night, literally. She flew to Israel. In the days since she's been back in the country, questions are starting to be asked about the fact that she was helped to get out of the country.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, which is an obvious one, is, you know, why was she aided and abetted? And was she?
Exactly. So that issue now is starting to manifest, and people who care about that are starting to ask questions. And interestingly, there was a brief hearing some years ago while she was in Israel, which found that there was support given to her to leave the country and to deny justice being pursued in any event. And a bizarre little twist which happened in recent days as well is that the obviously focus is now, attention is now being focused on the Adas community in Melbourne. And a statement was put out basically saying that any members of staff who might be impacted by her return to this country and feel they need professional counseling can get that from a particular forensic psychologist. Now, what's strange about that is that same psychologist was part of the group which facilitated Malka Leifer leading for Israel all those years ago.
Wow.
And so, I know. So very quickly, and in fact, 24 hours later, the school backtracked on that offer and said that this psychologist is now unavailable and they can find they can find support elsewhere. I mean, rather strange
It shows just a little bit of, and I'm only saying it looking from the outside, but it shows maybe a lack of understanding of the reality of how serious this is. It was a very, very strange move, but a very tone deaf move.
Well, exactly right. Exactly right.
Yeah.
And then, and the other question is being asked as well is, because the reality now is that she is being represented by what by all reports are a very expensive defense barrister. Now, which begs the question, who's paying for this? So this is not I imagine this is not pro bono, but so who's paying for a high price defense barrister to be defending her? And that's another question being asked. So one is about that. One is about facilitating her rushing off to Israel, literally in the middle of the night. And what also has resurfaced has been what I sort of alluded to a few moments ago, that in 2015, so in other words, while she was in Israel, there was a civil trial judgment, which found that the school board had sought to cover up her alleged wrongdoing by arranging for her to fly to Israel with a few hours' notice. So all these issues around that are surfacing or resurfacing.
Vic, when they had that commission some years ago, I know you and I spoke quite a lot about it at the time. Was this conversation never, the Malkalifa story was never brought into it? That was not about this at all. Is that right?
I missed the first part, sorry. Can you say that again, please?
A few years ago, maybe about 2 years ago now, there was that investigation and the commission of inquiry. I know that was about one of the other schools, but was this brought into it at all, or was it only about the other school? Was it Manny Wack's story?
So to my knowledge, or from memory, this Malkalifa issue did not come up in that. And you're absolutely right. It was about two, 3 years in Sydney and in Melbourne into child sexual abuse generally across the board. And within the context of that, yes, there was a very sharp focus on what issues which had happened or allegedly happened within the Jewish school system, both in Sydney and in Melbourne. And you're right, Manny Wax, your memory is spot on there. That was allegations here of issues in Sydney, and it was a different cast of alleged.
Right. One of our listeners reminding me it was the Royal Commission. Absolutely right.
Exactly right. Mm. It was the Royal Commission, and that's exactly what it was. And so different cast of people involved, and I do not have any recollection that the Malkalifa issue came into it at all.
Right. Fascinating, and no doubt we'll be speaking more about this. Sorry, yes, Vic.
And just to end on the Malkalifa issue today, the next event, if I can put it that way, is that she's due to appear via video link again in the Melbourne Magistrates Court on April 9, where she is expected to enter a plea.
Yeah, and no doubt we will follow this story. Neo-Nazis march on Australia Day. That was last week on this day.
It was last week, and so this is obviously very disturbing. While it was only, put the word only in quotes, 40 people, what we saw was 40 members of a recently formed group called the National Socialist Network, marched in the foothills of a range of mountains called the Grampians, which is in Victoria, which is where Melbourne, the state of Melbourne, calling themselves Ku Klux Klan, setting a burning cross on fire, which is absolutely KKK modus operandi, displaying Nazi salutes and making anti-Semitic noises as well. So because it was such a assault basically on what happens in this country, it has attracted a lot of mainstream media because it is so outrageous and so offensive. The Premier of Victoria has come out strongly condemning this and saying that we will not tolerate anti-Semitism, let alone neo-Nazi or KKK conduct or expressions in the state of Victoria. It was led, this group of 40 people were led by a former Australian Army soldier turned neo-Nazi. And he himself has later posted pictures online of images of the neo-Nazi group posing in front of the burning cross, displaying Nazi salutes at various locations, etc. So even though it was only 40 people, very disturbing stuff. And I guess the good thing is that there has been focus on it and focus from, you know, from the top down. So premiers and politicians, etc. And inevitable debate on should this group be banned or should it not be banned. We've spoken on this program a couple of years ago about another neo-Nazi group called the Antipodean Resistance. Antipodean is another sort of geographical term for this part of the world. And this Antipodean Resistance group, I actually referred to them when I was leading that campaign for legislative reform to outlaw incitement to racist violence. Because they, this was a couple of years ago, published posters. One poster had a picture of a young man with T-shirt said gay and proud, and they're putting a bullet in his head. Another one said, execute Jews, join your local Nazis. So, and now that group has now sort of morphed into this new mob called the National Socialist Network. So they a pretty ugly bunch, to say the least. And as I say, only 40 people, but pretty disturbing nevertheless.
Absolutely. And very quickly, at least a little bit of positive news. Government to contribute $750,000 to build a Holocaust museum in Canberra.
That is good news. Canberra is the nation's capital. So it's Australia's version of Washington, D.C., if you wish. And so while it's only a small place, it's a very influential place because that's where the federal parliament is. So it's very significant to have a Holocaust museum there. And this announcing $750,000 comes literally just 2 months after the government announced $3.5 million for a Holocaust museum in Brisbane and $2.5 million for a Holocaust museum in Adelaide. So Brisbane, Adelaide, Canberra, literally within months of each other, Holocaust museums to be established in all three. So that can only be good, very good news.
Absolutely incredible news. Time is 6:29. Vic Aladev, thank you. As always, Vic is our Australia correspondent. We chat to him every Tuesday morning at this time. We get news from Australia and what is happening down under.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.